वस्त्रप्रायेषु अविद्रेषु नित्यं भगवतः सेवाय भगवति उपनिष्लोकपक्षभावति नश्यति. सो श्रीमद् भागवतम् कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 22. Really? That's the message that we got last night?
No, I didn't hear.
What verse is there, Krishna Bringa?
I got not see how this on this game.
22. Oh, Krishna. I read the wrong verse this morning.
And the most funny thing that this is also the wrong verse. They're reading from the fourth canto.
Huh?
The most funny thing that they're reading from the fourth canto. They confused it yesterday.
Really? Well, we'll read this verse. But I got a message last night that we were supposed to study another verse. So we'll speak on the other verse. Okay. Kalina So Ja Purusha Yushabi Pravrita Jogena Viruda Boda Swayam Tad Anta Vidaye Babatam Apashya Tapashyata Yan Na Purvam. Kalena Soja Purusha Shushabi Pravitta Yogena Viruddha Bodha Swayam Tat Antardaye Vabhatam Napasyata Pasyata Yanna Purvam. Аджа
Саморожденный Брама
Пуруша Аюша
Продолжительность жизни
Аби Праврита
Занимайся
Джогейна
Медитацией
Вируда
Обрел
Бода
Разум
Своим
естественным образом.
Тад антакритае
сердцем.
Абабатам
проявившуюся.
Апашчита
увидел.
Апашчита
видел.
Яд
которую
на
не
пурвам. At the end of Brahma's 100 years, when his meditation was complete, he developed the required knowledge, and as a result, he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself, whom he could not see before with the greatest endeavor.
Когда в прошедшей истории он достиг цели, Брама обрел необходимые знания и увидел в своем сердце Всевышнего, которого до этого ему никак не удавалось увидеть, несмотря на все усилия.
The Supreme Lord can be experienced only through the process of devotional service and not by one's personal endeavor and mental speculation.
Увидеть Верховного Господа можно только с помощью преданного служения. Никакие умственные усилия не помогут нам в этом.
The age of Brahma is calculated in terms of divya years, which are distinct from the solar years of the human beings.
Возраст Брама исчисляется в годах Дивья, отличающихся от солнечных лет, которые измеряются в жизни людей.
The Divya years are calculated in Bhagavad Gita Sahasra Juga Paryantam Aha Yad Brahmano Vidu. Brahma's one day is calculated to 1,000 times the aggregate of the four yugas, calculated to be 4,300,000 years.
Продолжительность года Диви указана в Бхагавад-гите. За один день Брама на Земле проходит 1000 циклов из 4 юг. Каждый цикл длится 4300 лет.
On that basis, Brahma meditated for 100,000 years before he could understand the supreme cause of all causes. And then he wrote the Brahma Sanhita, which is approved and recognized by Lord Chaitanya, in which he sings, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Закончив медитировать, Брама постиг высшую причину всех причин и создал Брама Санхиту, признанную одобренную Господом Чайтанья, и в которой говорится, Говиндам Ади Пурушам Тамахам Бхаджами.
One has to wait for the mercy of the Lord before he can either render service unto him or know him as he is.
Чтобы получить возможность служить Господу и постичь его истинную природу, необходимо снискать милость Господа.
So it's a very interesting verse today.
Сегодня очень интересный стих.
And it said that Brahma, he engaged in meditation.
Здесь говорится, что Брама занимался медитацией.
And it says, Viruddha Bodha Swayam.
Здесь говорится, Viruddha Bodha Swayam.
It says that by engaging in meditation, he automatically developed the intelligence by which he could understand the Supreme.
Здесь говорится, что занимаясь медитацией, он автоматически развил разум, необходимый для понимания Всевышнего.
And the result of that is that he saw within his heart something that he'd never seen before.
И в результате этого он увидел в своем сердце нечто, что он раньше никогда не видел.
Meaning that he saw something which he couldn't understand by any mechanical process.
А именно это означает, что увидел нечто, что невозможно понять никаким механическим процессом.
He saw something which couldn't be understood by mental speculation.
Он увидел то, что невозможно понять с помощью умственных размышлений.
He actually had a vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Действительно, он увидел верховную личность Бога.
Now, previously in this chapter, we've read how Brahma took birth from the abdomen of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
Ранее в этой главе мы читали, как Брама родился из пупка на животе Гарбходакшая Вишну.
It's explained that when Brahma was born, great heat was generated and the waters of the dissolution of the universe started to dry up.
Говорится, что когда родился Господь Брама, то это сопровождалось большим выделением тепла, вследствие чего начали испаряться воды вселенского разрушения.
And when those waters began to dry up, then great winds started to blow.
Когда воды начали высыхать, то начали дуть могучие ветра.
And there were flames in different places.
И то есть праздно отовсюду полыхали языки пламени.
And Lord Brahma, he was sitting on this lotus flower that was going back and forth in the winds, and there were flames, and practically speaking, he was bewildered.
И Господь Брама сидел на цветке лотоса, который качался взад вперед под влиянием ветра, и кругом полыхали языки пламени. Он был совершенно в полном замешательстве.
And it explains that in his bewildered condition of life, he started asking some important questions.
И объясняется, что в своем замешательстве он начал задавать важные вопросы.
He started asking, who am I?
Он начал спрашивать, кто я такой?
From where have I come?
Откуда я пришел?
What is the origin or the source of my existence?
Каково начало или происхождение моего существования?
What is my purpose while I'm here?
Каково моя цель здесь?
Where am I going to go when this existence is finished?
И куда я направлюсь, когда существование подойдет к концу?
How do I find myself on this lotus flower?
И как я вообще очутился на этом цветке лотоса?
So Srila Prabhupada would often explain that human life begins when people ask these questions.
Srila Prabhupada часто говорит, что человеческая жизнь начинается, когда люди задают себе эти вопросы.
It's not that we find ourselves sitting on a lotus flower and blowing in space.
Конечно, мы не находимся на цепке лотоса и не раскачиваемся на нем в пространстве.
But we find ourselves in many bewildering situations in this world.
Но мы, по крайней мере, обнаруживаем себя, то есть мы попадаем в те или иные запутанные ситуации в этом мире.
In this material world, we find ourselves constantly endeavoring for some happiness and satisfaction, but always ending up in frustration.
В этом материальном мире мы всегда стремимся к удовлетворению, счастью, но так или иначе, в конце концов, оканчиваем разочарованием.
That's actually a very amazing thing.
Это очень потрясающая вещь.
Is that everyone in this world, they make strong endeavor for happiness, but everyone ends up in frustration.
В том, что каждый в этом мире прилагает огромные усилия, чтобы достичь счастья, но в конце концов его усилия оканчиваются разочарованием.
And you see that everyone experiences it.
И вы можете видеть, что каждый в этом нуждается.
It's not that just because we're devotees, we're criticizing the non-devotees because they're trying to engage in sense gratification.
То есть мы это не то, что мы критикуем, будучи преданными, критикуем непреданных за то, что они пытаются заниматься чувственным наслаждением.
But because by this process of devotional service, our vision has become changed.
Просто благодаря процессу преданного служения наше видение изменилось.
And we can actually see things as they are.
И мы действительно видим вещи такими, какие они есть.
So we see so many people making a grand endeavor for becoming happy in this world, but it always ends up that they're frustrated.
И мы видим, как столько людей строят огромные планы для того, чтобы достичь счастья в этом мире, но в конце концов они оканчивают разочарованием.
So Prabhupada would say that the human life begins when we actually start to make very pertinent or relevant inquiries about what we're doing in this world.
Шрила Прабхупада часто говорит, что человеческая жизнь начинается тогда, когда мы начинаем задавать очень уместные вопросы по поводу того, что мы, собственно, делаем в этом материальном мире.
How did I get here?
Как я сюда попал?
Who am I?
Кто я?
What is my real dharma, or what is my real duty while I'm here?
Какова моя истинная дарма или мой истинный долг, когда я пока нахожусь здесь?
The whole Vedic literatures are based on trying to understand dharma.
Все ведические произведения основаны на том, чтобы понять дарму.
What is the definition of dharma?
Каково определение дхармы?
Chaitanya Chandrababu, what is the definition of dharma?
Chaitanya Chandrababu, каково, что такое дхарма?
Following the prescribed duties.
Yes, dharma means occupational duties.
Yeah, dharma означает соблюдение своих обязанностей.
And oftentimes people think, like in Indian culture, people think that dharma simply means religion.
Как в Индии, например, люди думают, что дхарма означает просто религия.
But dharma actually means the occupational duty of the living entity.
Но дхарма означает род занятий живого существа, его описанной обязанности.
And so human life is meant for understanding what are our occupational duties.
Человеческая жизнь предназначена для того, чтобы понять, каковы наши вот эти предписанные обязанности.
Because by properly following our occupational duties, our attraction for God should become awakened.
Потому что и благодаря должным образом следования исполнения этих предписанных обязанностей, мы проводим свое влечение к Господу.
Shrimad Bhagavatam says that you can do so many different duties in life.
Shrimad Bhagavatam объясняет, что в жизни можно исполнять столько разных обязанностей.
The wife can do the proper duty to the husband.
Жена может исполнять свои обязанности перед мужем.
Can serve him so nicely.
Она может ему очень хорошо служить.
And the husband can do the proper duty to the wife and maintain her so nicely.
И муж может исполнять свои предписанные обязанности по отношению к жене и хорошо его содержать.
And a person may do his duty to his community or to his nation or to his country.
И человек может нести свои обязанности к своему сословию, народу или стране.
A person may perform his duties to all of his forefathers.
А человек может совершать и выполнять свои обязанности перед всеми предками.
But if by performance of these duties our attraction for Krishna doesn't become awakened, then that's a useless waste of time.
Но если благодаря исполнению всех этих обязанностей наше влечение к Кришне не пробуждается, то это просто бесценная трата времени.
So the Srimad Bhagavatam actually explains that that is what is the highest duty, is to serve the Lord.
И Шримад Бхагаватам объясняет, что высочайшая обязанность является служить Господу.
And that by every function, by every activity in one's life, one can actually awaken one's dormant God consciousness.
В действительности, каждым поступком в жизни можно направлять так, чтобы пробуждать дремлющее сознание Бога.
So all these questions, who am I, what am I doing here, where am I going when I leave this place, to understand the answers to these questions are our proper duties as humans.
Так, все эти вопросы, кто я такой, что я здесь делаю, куда я направлюсь, это понять ответы на эти вопросы, это долг каждого человека.
And everything else is a waste of time.
А все остальное это потеря времени.
So Brahma, he wanted to actually understand what his proper duty was.
И Брахма хотел понять, каковы были его обязанности.
Sitting on this lotus flower, blowing in space.
Он сидя на этом лотосе и раскачиваясь в пространстве.
Not understanding anything.
Вообще ничего не понимая.
So, what have we read so far in this chapter?
Что мы таким образом прочитали в этой
главе? That Brahma, he saw that he was sitting on a lotus.
Что Брахма увидел, что он наружу, что сидит.
And he saw that the lotus had a stem which was going down. So since Brahma is a very intelligent person, he said, well, I'll climb down the stem and I'll understand what is the source of my origin. So Brahma started climbing down. But the origin of that lotus is Vishnu.
Но, то есть начало происхождения этого лотоса является Вишну.
And Lord Vishnu is transcendental.
А Господь Вишну трансцендентен.
That means that Lord Vishnu cannot be approached by material endeavor.
Это означает, что Господа Вишну невозможно достичь с помощью материальных усилий.
Lord Vishnu cannot be approached by some material yoga system.
Господа Вишну невозможно достичь с помощью материальной системы йоги.
But Lord Vishnu can only be approached by transcendental devotional service.
Господа Вишну можно достичь только с помощью трансцендентного преданного служения.
So Brahma's self-created material endeavor to understand the source of that lotus proved to be a failure.
И самостоятельные усилия Брахмы понять природу этого лотоса в конце концов провалились.
And as a result of that, Brahma engaged in meditation. And he engaged in meditation for a long time. This verse describes that he engaged in meditation for 100 years. Now, what is the calculation of Lord Brahma's 100 years? Srila Prabhupada, he explains here that 4,300,000 years equals one day of Lord Brahma. No, excuse me. 4,300,000 years times 1,000 equals one day of Lord Brahma.
Шрила Прабхупада объясняет, что 4,300,000 помножить на 1000 лет солнечных лет составляет один день Господа Брахмы.
So again, 4,300,000 years, and multiply that by 1,000 years, and that equals one day of Brahma.
Еще раз. 4,300,000 лет умножить на 1000 лет, вот это получится день Брахмы.
So that's a very long time, isn't it?
Довольно долго, не так ли?
That's only one day.
Это всего один день.
And Brahma meditated for 100 years.
А Брахма медитировал 100 лет.
Of that time.
По этому исчислению времени.
Not like 100 years of the humans.
Не 100 лет по человеческому исчислению.
Because he is the greatest personality of the universe. His span of life is relatively much longer than ours. And then this verse explains that by the process of meditation he received some fruits. By the process of a very great and strong spiritual endeavor which he made, he received fruit of that endeavor.
Благодаря очень огромным и сильных духовных усилий, которые он прилагал, он получил плод своих усилий.
And the Bhagavatam, in the verse, it says that Swayam Bodha, it says that automatically he saw things that he didn't see before.
В Бхагаватам говорится Свайам Бодха, означает, что он автоматически увидел те вещи, которые не видел до этого.
It says automatically things were revealed to him that he couldn't understand before when he climbed down the stem of the lotus. So this is something practical for us to understand. Because we're all engaging in the process of transcendental science. We're all following the path of bhakti yoga. We're all engaged in meditation. What is our meditation? It's not that we're sitting and we're going like this in the morning. You see, but our meditation is that we're chanting the holy name. And by chanting the holy name, we're meditating directly on the form of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada always explains that the Lord is absolute. Therefore, the name of the Lord and the Lord are absolutely the same. There's no difference. There's the verse that stated, Namas Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnak Shudo Nityamukto Vinatnam Nami Namino, that Krishna and his name are the same. It says that just like Krishna is Purna, he's full of all qualities. The name is full of all qualities. Krishna is Sudha, which means he's absolutely pure. Krishna has no trace of material contamination in his nature. And then Krishna is Nityamukto, which means that he's forever liberated from the influence of the three modes of material nature. Because Krishna and the name are the same, the name has the same qualities. The name has form. The name has personality. So instead of trying to sit and meditate on something that we haven't perceived, we meditate on the name of the Lord because the name and the form are the same. And how else do we as devotees meditate? We meditate on our devotional services because we understand that when we're given service, that service is coming directly from Krishna, and that service is none different than Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada always explained to us that when we will meditate on our devotional services, then we can realize Krishna. That's why we should always be very, very attentive when some service is given to us. We shouldn't think, oh, the temple president is just trying to make me do something because there's no one else to do it. No, but whenever some service comes, we should realize this is a direct benediction which is coming from Krishna. How else do we meditate as devotees? We meditate on the instructions which we receive from the mouths of our spiritual masters. Every day, what do we sing? We say, Sri Guru Chanana Padma Chite Te Koriya Aikya Arna Koriya Mane Asha, that I have no other desire than to fix the instructions of the spiritual master within my mind. If one will always meditate on his Guru Maharaj's instructions and endeavor to execute those instructions, then perfection will come. Just like we see Srila Prabhupada's example. What was the thing that Srila Prabhupada always attributed to his success? Who can answer? Bahi Prabhu? Srila Prabhupada always said he was successful. Why?
Srila Prabhupada говорит, что я достиг успеха. Почему?
The Prabhupada said, I was always meditating on my Guru's instructions. Prabhupada never took credit for being a big yogi. Prabhupada never took credit for being a big transcendentalist. Prabhupada would often say that he was a fallen and conditioned soul. But he was always meditating on the transcendental orders of Guru Maharaj. We know that Prabhupada, when he was just a young man, only as old as many of you boys out here, 22 years old, he met a spiritual master. And he was just married, and his children were just starting to come, and he was a very dutiful person. He had to maintain his family nicely, and he met his Guru Maharaj, and his Guru Maharaj said, preach Krishna consciousness in the English speaking world. And Prabhupada thought, well, how can I do? He said, I'm just a young grihasta, I just have started my family. How can I give up everything and go out and preach? Doesn't seem like it's possible. But he was so much impressed by his Guru Maharaj that he always kept the instruction deep within the core of his heart. Actually, as devotees, we should be like that. We should make our hearts so nice and clean, just like an altar. And on that altar, we should very nicely keep the instructions of Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada, he always kept those instructions there, and he always meditated. So he got that instruction in 1922. And when did he go to the West? 1965. You might say that was 44 years he kept that instruction within his heart. And he never forgot that instruction. And he always meditated, how can I execute this instruction most properly? So what did he do? Even though he was a family man, he spent his life studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day of his life, he would chant Hare Krishna on his beads. Because he was a perfect person, naturally he followed the highest regulative principles in his life. He always meditated. How can I fulfill what Bhaktisiddhanta told me to do? You see, he started writing in English. He prepared his Back to Godhead magazine, and he'd go out and distribute it himself. At a certain point, he accepted sannyas order of life. All just meditating, I want to serve Guru Maharaj. At a certain point, he saw that the people in India were not receptive to the message of the Bhagavatam. So he said, I must leave, I must go to America, because America is the leading country of the world, and if they accept Krishna consciousness, everyone will accept Krishna
consciousness.
He always sacrificed. He never kept things for himself. I know saints in Vrindavan that knew Prabhupada when he was living there. They told me, your Guru Maharaj, even in the cold Vrindavan winter, he just had one chatur that had holes inside. He just lay on the stone floor with that chatur on, that's all he'd keep. He wouldn't even spend money for his own food. He said, we'd have to beg and take him food to eat. When Prabhupada would go to Delhi to have his books printed or to sell his Back to Godhead magazine, He wouldn't even spend money on the bus.
Когда Прабхупада отправился в Дели для того, чтобы то есть, напечатать книги или же распространять журнал, он не платил даже за автобус.
Why is that?
Почему?
Because he was meditating every kopeck that I have is for Guru Maharaj's service.
Потому что он медитировал, что каждая копейка, которая у меня есть, должна быть на служение Гуру Махараджу.
My energy is for Guru Maharaj's service.
Моя энергия должна быть на служение Гуру Махараджу.
Prabhupada was absorbed in that way.
Прабхупада был поглощен такими мыслями.
And then he went to America.
Затем он отправился в Америку.
And then after he was in America about a year, he had a big heart attack.
Через год в Америке, через полтора года случился сердечный приступ.
And he had some young disciples then, but they couldn't figure out what was happening. So I met a man in India who was Prabhupada's friend who received a letter from Prabhupada at the time of Prabhupada's heart attack.
Я знаю одного друга в Индии, который получил письмо от Прабхупады в то время, когда у него был сердечный приступ.
And what did the letter say? He told his friend, he said, please go to Mathura. There's one Ayurvedic doctor there. Describe my symptoms. Get me medicine and send it immediately.
Он написал, пожалуйста, своему другу, пожалуйста, отправься в Мадхуру. Там есть вот такой-то и такой-то аюрведический врач. Опиши ему мои симптомы. То есть пускай мне выпишет лекарство и немедленно вышли мне его.
He said, I may die at any moment.
Я могу умереть в любой момент.
He said, but don't misunderstand me.
Но не пойми меня неправильно.
He said, I'm not afraid of death.
Я не боюсь смерти.
He said, Maya cannot touch me.
Майя не сможет никогда коснуться.
He said, but if I die now, I will not have been able to fulfill the order of Guru Maharaj, and that would be a great loss.
Если я умру сейчас, то я не смогу исполнить приказание Гуру Махараджа, это будет величайшей утратой.
So even Prabhupada is laying on his bed in a foreign land, preparing to die, and the only thing he's thinking is, if I die now, I won't have fulfilled Guru Maharaj's instructions.
Смотрите, Прабхупада лежит в кровати, то есть в предсмертном состоянии, в чужой земле. И единственное, о чем он думает, это о том, что если я умру сейчас, я не смогу исполнить наставление своего Гуру Махараджа.
So such a powerful type of meditation Prabhupada had.
У Прабхупады была такая мощная медитация.
On the instructions of his spiritual master. And how to fulfill those instructions.
И то, как исполнить эти наставления.
Later, Srila Prabhupada said, he said, I'm just following the instructions of my spiritual master blindly. He said, and results are coming beyond my farthest dreams. Prabhupada said, my only success is that I simply repeated the words of my spiritual master. Not that I added anything or not that I subtracted anything. I only repeated. So this is a very powerful form of meditation. So we can meditate on the name of the Lord. We can meditate on our devotional services to the Lord. Most importantly, we can meditate on the orders of our spiritual master. And by this transcendental process of devotional service, things which were not previously seen within our heart will become revealed. If we look into our hearts now, what will we see? We'll see so many lusty desires for sense gratification. We'll see anger, we'll see greed. We'll see so many bad things that are within there. But by devotional service and by this powerful form of engaging our minds always in thinking of the Lord, all of these inferior qualities will become removed.
Благодаря преданному служению, благодаря этому могущественному процессу, занятия своего ума мыслями о Господе, все эти низшие, все эти неблагоприятные вещи устранятся.
And then what will that thing be that we'll see within the heart?
И что ж тогда мы увидим в своем сердце?
We'll see the beautiful Lord present within our heart.
То есть прекрасного Господа в нашем сердце.
And His full transcendental glory.
И все его трансцендентные славы.
Actually, these next verses, they're going to explain the vision that Brahma had when he had his realization. So this is the glory of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Bhaktiamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tattataha tato mam tattato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. He says that I can only be understood by devotional service. He says when this bhakti process, when bhakti washes your heart so nicely, only then you'll be able to come to the spiritual world and enter into the kingdom of God.
Говорит, что когда процесс бхакти, он так хорошо омывает, то есть промоет ваше сердце, то тогда вы станете достойны, чтобы войти в Царство Бога.
So our great acharya, Srila Rupa Goswami, he's explained what does bhakti or what does devotional service really mean.
И наш великий ачарья Шрила Рупа Госвами объясняет, что такое на самом деле бхакти.
He's given different ideas of what bhakti means.
Он дал разные, то есть грани того, что значит.
The first idea of pure devotion is that we should become free from any desire for material gain. Just like in some religious processes, they approach the Lord because they want something in return. They say, give us this day our daily bread. But in pure devotional service, we don't expect to take anything from Krishna. Now you may say, well, we're not pure devotees, we're all small devotees. But we should start to cultivate that mentality now. It's not that we should approach the spiritual master, it's not that we should approach the process of devotional service, because we expect anything.
Мы не должны обращаться к духовному учителю и начинать заниматься процессом преданного служения, ожидая что-то, что бы то ни было.
Lord Chaitanya said we don't want name.
Господь Чайтанья говорит, что мы не хотим имени.
We don't want fame, we don't want beautiful women.
Мы не желаем славы, не желаем прекрасных женщин.
We don't want to hear so many poetic descriptions of how nice sense gratification is.
Мы не хотим слушать множество поэтичных описаний чувств.
Because we understand that sense gratification is not happiness, sense gratification is suffering. The only thing a devotee wants is pure devotional service in his life, birth after birth after birth. But like Srila Prahlad Maharaj, how did he describe the situation? Lord Narasingadeva appeared before him. And Lord Narasingadeva was prepared to give Prahlad anything he wanted because Prahlad was such a spotlessly pure devotee. And he said, Lord, I don't want anything. He said, I'm not a merchant. It's not that I've done service to you because I want something in return. He said, because I'm engaged at all times in hearing about your transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, I can be either in heaven or I can be in hell and I'll be completely satisfied. You can send me to hell and I'll be happy there, I'll be satisfied because I have your devotional service. Oftentimes, Srila Prabhupada would say, a devotee doesn't mind whether he's in heaven or hell. You see, heaven, hell, all mata, it's all the same. So he said, but, my dear Lord, he said, therefore, I'm not desiring any type of sense gratification. He said, my only problem is that I know that there's so many people who aren't engaged in your devotional service. And I know that they're miserable and they're suffering. Therefore, do something to uplift them. Oh, we have the example of Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vasudev Datta, his heart was, he was such a pure devotee, he didn't care about his material situation. Not that he was looking for any type of sense gratification. Not that he was looking for liberation or salvation. What was his idea? One day he approached Lord Chaitanya. And he was in a very deep and very meditative mood. And Lord Chaitanya could see that his mind was absorbed in something. So Lord Chaitanya said, Vasudev Datta, what is the problem? He said, certainly you're not depressed because you're not achieving some material gain or liberation. And Vasudev Datta said, my dear Lord, I'll tell you why I'm distressed. He said, because I can look in the world and I can see how everyone in the world is blinded by sense gratification. And they're all trying to satisfy their senses. And the result of it is that they're suffering. And suffering is not the end of it. They're all being bound by their karma. And so again they're being pushed down into material existence. And when I understand that all of the people in the world are suffering in that way, it gives me a great pain in my heart. He said, therefore, my dear Lord, he said, I want you to take the reactions of all the karma of everyone within the whole material universe and put it on my shoulders. And you just let me stay down here and be the one who suffers. And you let all the rest of them go back to the spiritual world. Because I understand that Krishna will be most happy when they all come back and they engage in his pure devotional service and have relationship with him. So this is the mentality of the pure devotees. No sense gratification. No liberation. But only to engage our body, our mind, our words, our position, our money, everything for the pleasure of Krishna. So we should be that way as we engage in devotional service. You know, not thinking that we ever want something. Oh, I'll do some service if I get something in return. I'll do some service if I get some facility. I'll give a class if they'll put nice big garlands around my neck. You know, I'll lead a kirtan if they give me one big tort a day. No, we should have a completely unmotivated attitude as we engage in our devotional services. But then you say, but Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that different types of people approach him. And they have different motivations. A person who's distressed approaches Krishna. Was there anyone here who was distressed when they came to devotional service? I was distressed. You see, distressed, desiring wealth. You see, or curious. You know, what are the Hare Krishnas doing? Or, you know, somebody really, really wanting transcendental knowledge. So they all have some motivation for approaching Krishna. But what does Krishna say? He says that they're good. Even though they have their second agenda, they're good. Why? Because they're approaching me. And they may have some material desire, but I am a much more clever and intelligent person than they are. So what I'll do is they'll approach me and I'll purify them. He says that there's other types of people, they'll never approach me. He says, demigod worshippers, he says, kamaistaistera rittigyana. He says they have lusty intelligence, they're less intelligent. He says the impersonalists, they're the worst of the worst. You know, they may actually be doing so much austere meditation and yoga, but he says they won't come to me. So whatever is our position, we should approach the Lord. Of course, as devotees, we should make sure that we work on purifying our hearts. So here in the verse it says, the word is, he says, by great endeavor. Prabhupada said, whom he could not see before with the greatest endeavor. So we should make great endeavor. But our endeavor should be in devotional service. Our meditation should be in devotional service. All of our acts should be in devotional service. Because devotional service is the perfection of all meditation, of all yoga, of all works, of all sacrifices. The perfection of all of these is simply to come to the position of pure devotional service. And it's a rare position. Why is it? Because when you come to the position of pure devotional service, then competition begins with the Lord. You want to serve Krishna, but Krishna wants to serve you. Just like Krishna, he became the messenger of the Pandavas. These Pandavas, they wanted to avert the war because they were all pure devotees. So Krishna went to Duryodhana and he said, please, don't engage in this ghastly warfare. Give the Pandavas something to manage. And yet, I won't give them anything. And then Krishna gave a partial manifestation of his Virat Rupa to try to scare some sense into Duryodhana. But he was still so less intelligent that he wouldn't give something to the Pandavas. He became the chariot driver of Arjuna. You know, he became a driver. Just like here in Almaty, you have this one devotee, Jadupuri. And I was asking people the other day, what are your services? And Jadupuri was like, I said, well, what's the matter with you? He said, I don't have an important service. I said, what do you mean you don't have an important service? You're a driver. He said, Krishna was a driver also. You know, so he became the driver of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You see, in so many ways, Krishna serves his friends in Vrindavan. Look how Krishna, we read in Krishna book, he carries the sandals of Nanda Baba on his head. When Nanda Maharaj comes home in the evening time, Krishna, he pulls a cushion over so Nanda Maharaj can sit down on it. You know, carries his sandals on his head, gives him some water to drink, servant of his devotees. Krishna serves his cowherd boyfriends. They look at him and say, hey, who do you think you are? You think you're a big man? No, you and I are equals. Let me ride on your shoulders. Krishna becomes ecstatic in that type of situation with his devotee. Sometimes Krishna serves the feet of the ladies of Vrindavan. Sometimes some of those ladies in Vrindavan, they become so angry with Krishna. Because Krishna plays so many different jokes and tricks on them. So one time Krishna got Radharani angry. And she became so angry she wouldn't even talk to him. And Krishna was thinking, how can I break this girl's anger? Because she's no regular girl, she's my greatest devotee. And I want to have transcendental exchange with her. So what did Krishna do? He actually took the feet of Radharani and placed on his head. He becomes the servant of his devotees. Krishna becomes bound by love. So to come to that position requires the greatest endeavor on our behalf. So we should totally absorb ourselves in this process of devotional service. And different processes I mentioned earlier on. Absorb yourself nicely in the name of Krishna. The other day, we were chanting Japa, Jasa Matinanda, when we were chanting Japa together in Dushanbe. And I had my deities were up early in the morning. And we had the devotees there, they made nice flower arrangements for my deities. And we had candle burning, so it gave nice atmosphere. So we were chanting Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. And the Maha Mantra was so pleasing. And while I was chanting, I started thinking, this Maha Mantra is Krishna. Now we always hear that, we always preach that. Well, that morning I started actually thinking while I was chanting Japa, this Maha Mantra is Krishna. So then I started becoming very enlivened when I was chanting Japa. And I was thinking, every time I say Hare Krishna, Krishna is just before me. So I said, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then I had another realization. I started thinking, Krishna is just before me in the form of the holy name. He's just right here. But I can't see him. Why? I started thinking, because my heart is so nasty and my heart is so contaminated. And so then what did I do? I started praying to Krishna in the form of the holy name. Please purify my heart and then reveal yourself to me. So much absorption can be there when we chant our japa in the morning. And that's such a powerful and potent time of the day for us. So absorption in the name. Absorption in our devotional services. And never letting the mind deviate for a moment from the instructions that you receive from your spiritual master. And our spiritual masters, they instruct us to follow all of these wonderful activities of devotional service. And to dedicate our lives for giving devotional service to other people. So that's a big meditation. But if we'll make a very strong endeavor, then Krishna will bestow His mercy upon us. just like in a few days, this month of Damodar is coming. And during the Damodar month, we know the Damodar Lila of the Lord. That baby Krishna was being held by Mother Jasoda, and he was drinking the milk from Jasoda's breast. And then the milk on the stove started to boil. So Jasoda put the baby down, and she went to take the milk off because she was going to use that milk for so many devotional services for Krishna. And then Krishna had a fit. He had a fit of anger. He said, "Mommy's milk was so good. She's put me down." He became like a wild man. And he started breaking everything. He started, you know, dumping the yogurt on the floor and dumping the ghee on the floor. And Mother Jasoda, she saw that. She said, "What are you doing? Now, you're such a rascal." And then she started to chase that baby. Now, this is a very interesting scene that's described by Kunti Devi in the Bhagavatam. Kunti Devi says, "I'm your aunt. And I know you're the Supreme God. But because I'm a woman, I'm bewildered. Because, you know, you're the Supreme Person. And when Jasoda chases you, you begin to cry. You're not afraid of anything. Everything's afraid of you. But when Jasoda Devi chases you, you begin to cry. So Krishna's running and he's crying. You know, and so many tears are coming from his eyes. "Mommy, mommy, don't. Mommy, don't hurt me." Jasoda's got this stick in her hand and she's just getting ready to whack Krishna. And then what happens is all the people in the neighborhood, they come there. And some of the ladies in the neighborhood, they're saying, "Beat that boy." Now, I catch him in my house every day eating ghee and yogurt. Feeding it to the monkeys. When I chastise him, he passes urine on my kitchen floor. He said, "It took me 3 hours to get my new baby to sleep the other night. And as soon as I put the baby to sleep, Krishna came sneaking in the room and took his hands and pinched my baby on his backside."
Wow!
My baby woke up again. I had to stay up all night long with the kid. Beat him, he's a rascal. And then the other ladies were saying, "No, don't beat him, he's too sweet." So Jasoda said, "I'm going to tie you up to the pot that I put the yogurt in." So Jasoda started calling for the ropes. And because her husband Nanda Maharaj has so many cows, plenty of rope was there. So she took one that would fit around Krishna in that pot. And she put it around him. But it was two fingers too short. Then her girlfriends, they brought more rope and they tied together. They tied it around Krishna again. And still it was two fingers too short. So it's like hundreds of ropes were coming. Tying more and more. And still two fingers too short. And Krishna wasn't expanding himself. And the pot wasn't getting bigger. But still it was two fingers too short. And Jasoda, she just became completely bewildered. And she was going, "Krishna, Krishna, what is going on?" And her sari was falling down. And her hair was loosened. And she had sweat all over her forehead. She was going, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." And Krishna looked at her and he saw, Wow! She's making such an endeavor on my behalf.
Кришна посмотрел на нее и подумал, о, она так старается ради меня.
And he just put his hand up and went, Harsha. So, just, it was so easy for Krishna. He just placed his hand up and he said, okay.
Кришна был так прост, он просто поднял свою руку и сказал, окей.
Take my blessings.
Прими мои благословения.
And then she put the rope around.
И она обвязала ее веревками.
And it tied.
Все завязалось.
So what do the two fingers stand for?
Что же обозначают эти два пальца?
One stands for the great, great, great endeavor of all of us.
Первое обозначает огромное усилие всех нас.
And the other stands for the mercy of the Lord.
А другое обозначает милость Господа.
So all of us here, we have to make a great endeavor in our Krishna consciousness.
И все мы должны совершать огромное усилие в сознании Кришны.
A great endeavor in all these varieties of meditation that I've mentioned.
Огромное усилие во всех этих видах медитации, которые я упоминал.
And the result of that will be Krishna will just put his hand up and he'll go, Harsha.
И в результате этого Кришна поднимет руку и скажет, окей.
And he'll bestow his mercy upon us.
И дарует нам свою милость.
And when the Lord gives us his mercy, then our whole existence will change and we'll go to the spiritual world.
А когда Господь дарует свою милость, то все наше существование переменится, и мы вернемся в духовный мир.
So Brahma, he meditated for so long time.
Итак, Брама так много медитировал.
But if we will spend this one life in intense meditation on the order of the spiritual master and chanting the holy name and engaging in our services, we'll be able to go back to Godhead.
Но если мы проведем всю эту жизнь в сильной медитации на исполнение наставлений духовного учителя, воспевание святого имени и совершение своих служений, то мы вернемся назад в голову в этой жизни.
This is the beauty of Bhakti-yoga process.
Такова прелесть процесса Бхакти-йоги.
So we've been very fortunately blessed by Lord Chaitanya.
Мы получили науку огромную удачу, получили благословение.
And blessed by Srila Prabhupada.
Благословение Шрилы Прабхупады.
And blessed by all your Guru Maharajas.
И благословение всех ваших Гуру Махараджа.
So let's dedicate ourselves in this way.
Поэтому давайте посвятим себе этому.
Let's not waste time.
Давайте не будем терять время.
Let's be very, very serious.
Давайте станем очень серьезными.
And all together we can go back to God.
И все вместе мы отправимся назад.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande. So, any questions?
Yes, there are questions.
Oh, Guru has a question over there. Sri Guru.
Guru.
She wants me to say something at Braja Leela, I forgot. Correct? Okay. Today is the 1 year anniversary of the disappearance of Brajalila Devi Dasi. Brajalila Devi Dasi ki. Brajalila was a very, very pure disciple of Srila Indradyumna Swami. And she was actually a very ideal devotee in every respect. And probably her most wonderful and her most ideal quality is that she had a faith on her Guru Maharaj that I've hardly seen in any disciple.
И одним из ее удивительных и потрясающих качеств, которое у нее было, это то, что она имела очень твердую веру в своего Гуру Махараджа, чего очень трудно увидеть в других учениках.
Practically speaking, she was always in a state of meditation on Srila Indradyumna Swami. And she had faith that if she would simply remember his lotus feet and execute his instructions, that she would be able to enter into Sri Vrindavan Dham. So she was suffering from leukemia. And the doctors, they said that her days were limited. So Maharaj sent her down to live in Vrindavan. And when she came to Vrindavan, she couldn't do many services because she was very weak. But when she was there, she became absorbed in the transcendental realm of Vrindavan. She was always reading Prabhupada's books describing Vrindavan Dham. And she was always extracting beautiful and choice prayers from the books and memorizing those prayers. And she was always simply absorbed in thinking about her spiritual master and how she somehow or other wanted to please her spiritual master. I mean, she was a phenomenal person. She didn't really care so much at all for herself or her physical condition. But it was just always, how can I please Guru Maharaj? How can I please Guru Maharaj? How can I please Guru Maharaj? And she would write letters to her Guru Maharaj that actually revealed her intense longing and her intense hankering to actually purely serve Maharaj.
И она писала письма своему Гуру Махараджу, которые раскрывали ее очень сильное желание, стремление чисто служить своему Гуру Махараджу.
You know, so she really, she had no self-interest.
У нее не было никаких корыстных интересов.
She was very, very extremely meek and humble person.
Она была очень-очень кротким и смиренным человеком.
And she was always, she was just always absorbed in the realm of Vrindavan and always absorbed in the order of her spiritual master. So on this day, a year ago, she passed away from this world. And when she passed away, she was surrounded by many, many devotees. And Indradyumna Swami, he'd gone then to Vrindavan to be with her when she passed away. And there was a roaring, roaring, roaring kirtan going on when she passed away from this world. And Maharaj was on one side of her body and he was loudly chanting into her ears, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then her god sister was on the other side, Gandharvika, and she was chanting into her ears. And in the midst of this huge kirtan and people chanting directly to her ears, and her deity was just in front of her very face.
И посреди всего этого громкого киртана, что то есть все громко ей буквально на ухо кричали Харе Кришна, и божества были прямо перед ее лицом.
She gave up her body.
Она оставила тело.
When she gave up her body, she chanted Харе Кришна.
И когда она оставляла тело, она повторила Харе Кришна.
It's like the last thing that came from her mouth was Hare Krishna, and then she left her body. So as described, Sukadeva Goswami says that our highest dharma is at the time we give up our bodies that we say the holy name of the Lord. And Lord Krishna says that whatever thought we have at the moment we give up our body, this will determine the situation that we enter in our next life. So in this way, we can safely assume that Vrajalila went back to the spiritual world. And by her faith in the spiritual master, by her faith in the holy name, she actually perfected her life and she went back to the spiritual world. Vrajalila Devi Dasi Ki. So she was a very nice devotee. And we should have inspiration also that we can become wonderful devotees in the same way. Okay.
It is said that the duty of a disciple is to ask the spiritual master intelligent questions. But on the other hand, it's said that one has to blindly follow. How to understand this? Говорится, что обязанность священника задавать очень разумные вопросы, а не просто слепо следовать, как это называется.
Srila Prabhupada has given us so many books.
Srila Prabhupada дал нам столько книг.
And these books will actually show us how to go back to the spiritual world.
Эти книги покажут нам, как вернуться в духовный мир назад.
But do we understand these books?
Но понимаем ли мы эти книги?
It's like all these different... Bhagavatam is very scientific.
Bhagavatam is very scientific.
So, we simply read and do we understand the science ourselves?
Мы просто читаем и понимаем, но понимаем ли мы науку сами?
No, that's why we have spiritual master. So we should read these books. And then, based on what we read, we should ask very intelligent questions how to understand the contents of those books or how to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Okay, you've all been reading the 10th chapter of the 3rd canto. There's a conversation going on in this chapter. Who's the conversation going on between? Why don't you know? You're reading the 4th canto. That's why you don't know. Still you should know. Conversation is going on between Maitreya and Vidura. And Maitreya is acting as the spiritual master of Vidura. And Vidura has asked Maitreya questions. And Maitreya responds by saying, I'm in ecstasy because your question is so good. And then what does he do? He cites another Vedic reference. He says, I'm going to give you the answer to your question that the Lord gave to Sanat Kumar, or Sanat Kumar. He said one time, Sanat Kumar, he went to the bottom of the universe. Because these saints, they can travel anywhere. So how did he say that he went there? Says that he got inside of his Volga and he drove there. No. Says what he did is, because the Ganga flows throughout the entire universe, he dipped into the Ganga. And he followed the flow of the river until it got down to the bottom of the universe. And then he came out of the river. And Lord Sankarshan was there at the bottom of the universe. And he said when he came out of the river, his hair was still wet. You know, meaning he was actually in the water and he came from Brahmaloka, the topmost planet, down to the bottom planet. And then he asked the same question to Lord Sankarshan. And Lord Sankarshan, he went into ecstasy. And he started meditating on Vasudeva. And in the ecstasy of his meditation, he started answering the question. So we should learn how to ask questions. And if we read Prabhupada's books, then we'll have some questions to ask on the science of Krishna consciousness. And if we don't read Prabhupada's books, our questions will become very limited. More or less, our questions will be this. Guru Maharaj, my senses are out of control. I'm agitated. Guru Maharaj, my mind is out of control. Guru Maharaj, can you tell me how to control my mind? You don't know how fed up Guru Maharajas get by hearing that question 1,001 times a day. You see, I mean, it's not that Parikshit Maharaj went to Shukadeva Goswami and said, Guru Maharaj, I'm thinking about sex. What can I do? No, he said, Guru Maharaj, what is my ultimate dharma? I'm going to die in 7 days. When that moment of death comes, what is my perfect dharma to follow? When Shukadeva Goswami heard that question, what did he do? He went, Bhasha boy, such a good question. He said, it's not like, you know,
how to control my sex life is like, what is my duty in life?
Это не про то, как секс контролировать, а про то, каков мой долг в жизни.
You know, and then what happens? 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam.
18,000 стихов Srimad
Bhagavatam. It's like such a good question.
Такой хороший вопрос.
18,000 verses to answer it.
То есть в ответ 18,000 стихов.
In the topmost poetry.
Самой возвышенной поэзии.
Poetry that no one in this universe has ever seen before.
Поэзии, которую никто никогда не видел в этой вселенной.
Just to answer a question.
Просто ответить на один вопрос.
So we should read Prabhupada's books.
Мы должны читать книги Шрилы Прабхупады.
And then we will have really fantastic questions.
Для нас будут просто потрясающие вопросы.
And if we don't read Prabhupada's books, it's all going to be the same thing.
Если нас не будем читать книги Прабхупады, будет все одно и то же.
My mind's out of control.
Не под контролем.
I saw a girl the other day. I fell in love with her.
Я видел девушку вчера, я в неё влюбился.
What can I do, Guru Maharaj? Let's go beyond that.
Давайте поднимемся выше этого.
You know, let's get into the transcendental topics about Krishna.
Давайте погрузимся в трансцендентные повествования о Кришне.
You know, and the topics of Krishna are so relishable.
Повествования Кришны настолько сладкие.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to Dhaka, Bangladesh one time. And he sat down and he opened the Bhagavatam. And he went, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadasa Yatonvaya Itadatas Chitate Shubhigya. He started chanting the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he stayed in Dhaka for 3 months. And every morning and every evening for 3 months, he spoke on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he never said the same thing twice. And he just kept expanding the meaning of the Bhagavatam. And expanding and expanding and expanding. Why? Because the Bhagavatam is Krishna. And the Bhagavatam is unlimited. And the explanation of the Bhagavatam is unlimited. So if we can go on asking questions about Bhagavatam for unlimited eternal time. So disciples should ask good questions. Krishna says, Takpidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. He says, prashna, vaprosh, prashna, vaprosh. It's the same thing. It means question. So he says, first you go to Guru Maharaj. And you make dandavats on the floor. And then you do a lot of service for Guru Maharaj. And then by doing that, you capture Guru Maharaj's attention. And then you say, Guru Maharaj, what is the goal of life? And because you've captured your Guru Maharaj by dandavats, by service, then whatever he understands about the goal of life, he says, here, take it. And so then he'll explain to you the goal of life. And then you won't understand it. And you'll say, vaprosh. He'll say, okay, take it. And then he'll explain it to you a completely other way. And then you won't understand it. And then you'll render some more service. Blindly, you'll just follow his lotus feet and serve and do whatever he tells you to do. And then he'll say, wow, this person's really serving. And I mean, I've already explained it twice and he hasn't understood it. But he's doing so much blind service to my lotus feet. Let me tell him again. And then he'll tell you completely again, what is the goal of life? He'll keep explaining the same point so that you actually understand what is the goal of life. So we should blindly serve our spiritual master, but ask intelligent questions. You know, what is the ultimate goal? Bhagavatam describes the ultimate goal as the summum bonum, or the highest good of life. And that summum bonum is Krishna. As a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, playing his flute, engaging in pastimes with all of his friends, And everything material and spiritual emanating from that transcendental form.
How to cure one's mind.
We have a question here.
У нас есть вопрос.
How can one control the mind?
Как контролировать ум?
Drink 3 bottles of Rasputin vodka.
Выпейте 3 бутылки водки Распутин.
And smoke a lot of that stuff that grows around here in Almaty and Bishkek. And then your mind will become completely quiet. You don't have to worry about anything. Absorb your mind in Krishna. Your mind is a material energy. Krishna says, he says, what's that verse? Bhumirapanalovayu kamano buddhir evacha ahankar iti ame vina prakritir ashtada. He says, I've got 8 energies. And 5 of them are called panch mahabhuta. The 5 great elements. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then he says, I've got 3 subtle energies. Mind. Intelligence. Ego. You see. So it's all Krishna's energy. So if we want to become free from the influence of the mind, we have to go to the controller of the mind.
To
the possessor of that energy. And we have to say, please lift the influence of your energy. So how do we do that? We absorb our mind in the service of Krishna. Just like I can have a glass here, and the glass can be filled with something useless, or the glass can be filled with something worthwhile. Now say I fill the glass right to the top with молоко. Now that's something which is very wonderful. And when that glass is completely full, you can't put anything bad inside. So when mind is full of Krishna, nothing bad can go inside. Now we may try to become yogis.
Мы можем попытаться стать йогами.
We try to empty our minds.
Попытаться опустошить свои умы.
But if the mind is empty, something's going to fill it.
Но если ум будет пустым, то что-то его туда обязательно заберется.
And maybe some nonsense will fill the mind.
Может, какая-нибудь дрянь туда заберется.
You see, but the idea is always keep the mind filled with Lord Krishna.
Но идея в том, чтобы ум был постоянно заполнен мыслями о Господе.
How to do?
Как это сделать?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Always chant the holy name. Always meditate on Guru Maharaj's instructions. Always meditate on perfecting your service. Say you're the cook in the temple. That service has been given to you by Guru Maharaj.
And
So say you've been given service by Guru Maharaj. And he says, Roman, become the cook. And Roman goes, but I don't know how to cook. And there's no way I can ever become a cook. You see, then that's useless. But then if your authorities, the Guru Maharaj, they give you some service, you say, let me perfect this service.
Но если ваше руководство лишь Гуру Махарадж в этом служении, и вы говорите, я хочу довести его, сделать его совершенным.
This is like I joined the Hare Krishna temple.
Как, например, когда я присоединился к храму Харе Кришна.
And then after I was a devotee for about 2 weeks, my temple president came to me.
Я был преданным уже, наверное, недели две, и президент храма подошел ко мне.
And he said, you know, Bhakti Sean, we have a program in the university this afternoon. And every Wednesday afternoon we have this program. We have a big feast. And you know, every week we make shlatki, rish, and halava. And we make ris. And we make sabji and samosa. I said, yeah. I said, I remember last week it was great. But anyhow, I want you to go to the kitchen and cook it today. Me?
Yeah.
Cook?
Готовить.
I don't know anything about cooking.
Я же не умею готовить.
I know how to chop a капусту and boil it.
Я умею резать капусту и варить ее.
He said, but cook me?
Чтобы я готовил.
He said, just go to the kitchen.
Он сказал, отправляйся на кухню.
I'll send somebody down to help you.
Я пошлю кого-нибудь на помощь.
Just really meditate on it.
Просто помедитируй на это хорошо.
Now naturally, the first feast, it wasn't so good.
Естественно, первый пир не получился особо хорошим.
But I was given that service.
Но мне дали это служение.
And then I just like absorbed myself. I was thinking, I want to do this to please Prabhupada.
Я просто буквально погрузился в это. Я думал, что я хочу доставить этим удовольствие Прабхупаде.
And then I became like one of the most famous cooks in ISKCON.
Я стал одним из самых знаменитых поваров в ISKCON.
You know, so it's like I didn't know anything.
Раньше я вообще ничего не знал.
But because I wanted to absorb myself in service to my Guru Maharaj, Krishna gave me that ability. So we should be that way. Absorb ourselves in our service, absorb ourselves in the name. And then Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna says, he says, to those people who worship me with love, I give them all the knowledge that they need to come to me. So it will work for all of us. Absorb our minds and then we won't have mental problems. But if you don't make the effort to absorb your mind will always be filling up with some nonsense. And then it will always seem out of control.
The other part of the question, what is the difference between the mind and intelligence?
Anyhow, I don't want to stop. It's 10:30. Okay. Alright. So now we're going to stop.
На этом мы остановимся.
And we'll meet again this afternoon.
И встретимся сегодня вечером.
What time?
Advaita Prabhu.
Does anyone know what time our afternoon program will be?
Где и насколько еще Guru? Программа в 4 часа дня в бизнес-центре на Абая. Около Абая Ленина, да? Голубой зал, 4 этаж, 4 часа. 4 часа около Абая Ленина, бизнес-центр, 4 этаж, голубой зал.
Okay, so everyone, what time is it?
4.
So everyone please come down at 4 o'clock.
Пожалуйста, все приезжайте к 4 часам.
And we'll have a nice kirtan.
Построим хороший kirtan.
And everyone should be completely absorbed in all your devotional services today. And it looks like we have some Braja Lila cakes to distribute today. Right? Okay, so is there a knife?
Ножик есть?
Bring a knife.
Несите ножик.
Raja Lila Devi Dasi ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Almati Yatra ki, Govindi. Everyone can come down and get a nice piece of Raja Lila's cake on the first anniversary of her disappearance.
Получите по хорошему куску торта Раджа Лила на первую годовщину.
Everyone be very calm.
Все спокойнее. Сдайте назад. Назад, пожалуйста. Здесь достаточно на всех, пожалуйста. Чем это дайте
все? Что я какой?
У меня фигур.
Вот вы это спросите, а вы это его помните. У меня
одну секунду.